talk about Microsoft Office, the 2007 version, and show you the new UI, why we did it, and show you some keyboard accessibility. And some of you may recognize we have a special guest here, Doug Jeffrey, Vice President of Product Development of AW Micro, is going to introduce some navigating the new ribbon with window eyes. So first we're going to discuss why did we change the UI and learn some of the rationale behind the types of components we chose to put into this new UI. Look at the new UI in relation to accessibility, and we'll be switching back and forth between presentation and demos. And we want to just show you demos as much as possible. I'm going to ask that we... I'm sorry, user interface. We're trying to compress what's normally a 2+ hour presentation into 1 hour, so if you could please hold questions to the end. And sometimes some of your questions may be answered as we move through. So I want to introduce also a new text-based graphics creation tool in Office. So we're introducing an entirely new way of working with the Office applications. Our design goals were ease of use, saving time, making it easier to discover more of the functionality in Office, and to support the creation of great-looking documents easily. And at the same time, we wanted to make sure that all these improvements were accessible to all of our customers. So why the new user experience? Some of you may relate to some of these quotes from customers. There must be a way to do this. Must be in here somewhere. I did this 9 months ago. I have no idea where I found it. It's just getting harder and harder to find what you need as features have become richer and the applications have grown in size. And the menu and toolbar system that we had in earlier versions of Office just can't handle the number of UI. That's why our menus have been getting longer and longer, and we've done the you get a short menu and you have to expand it, and then you check in the fly out. It just was getting overblown. So we wanted to create a single finite space where customers can search for the functionality they need. And along with that, we're adding some contextualization, the idea of working, giving you the things you want to do for the task at hand. So if you're working with a picture, you have picture tools available, but when you can't use those picture tools, they're not in your face. They're not in the way. So we're trying to clean up the user interface. Another goal was to help people work without interference, adding a little predictability. Who loves the auto UI that pops up? So we're trying to cut down on that kind of thing. We wanted to innovate with really great keyboard accessibility with the new ribbon, and still retain a comfort level. And I hope when I talk through this and you see me using Office, you'll see that it's still the same Office. You can still do everything you wanted to do. You now have a choice in the way that you do it. So why now? None of this is new. You know, this has been a complaint for more than one release. But we have been able now to track customer data from customers who have chosen to sign up for a customer experience improvement program. And we captured data, but no personal information. But over the last 90 days, we've captured about 352 million command bar clicks in Word alone. And we really couldn't have done the changes that we have made without this data. Because yes, you know what the problems are, but you know, how do you fix them? With data, we can now understand what are the commands that most customers are using most frequently, and how are they being sequenced together. we're seeing, you know, when people do, when someone does a paste in a document, do they then do some formatting? Do they do some layout? You know, what's the pattern? And we can track dead ends. So if some, we see patterns in a sequence, and then everybody starts undoing. So that's our clue, like, oops, dead end here. And we've also monitored news groups and have been looking at our product support data. So we're going to start looking at the main parts of the UI. We're going to talk about first the ribbon. And the ribbon is the one place to go to find the functionality that you need and can use at any given time. It's a modeless UI, and the goal was easy browsing. And when I say easy browsing, I'm not just referring to sighted users who, you know, scan the UI. We also made sure that you could scan or browse the UI using the keyboard alone. And you'll see more of that when Doug comes up. So the ribbon consists of tabs that are organized contextually. They're organized around scenarios or objects. And each tab has several groups. I'm going to just quickly move to Word and give you a few minutes. This, I don't know if everybody's seen this new UI. And I forgot to mention this is beta 1, so anything can happen. So here in Word, this band across the top, the entire area is called the ribbon. And right now we're on the right tab in Word. And so these are the tools that as you're just typing, I'm shaking, so. Oops. So I'm just typing and I'll shift home. So maybe I want to bold, italic, underline. All of those things are in the grouping called the font grouping. So I'll go into details of what I'm doing here later, but just to quickly present the idea that this is still Office, I'm going to hit the Alt key, I'm going to arrow down and tab over a little bit. And I'm going to underline. I'm going to select what type of underline I want. And then I want to bold it. Well, Control-V. Control-V still works. And I can also use accelerator key. So O for the font grouping and I for underline. And I'll go into more detail on these accelerator keys that are represented by key tips you need. We'll just go through a little bit and look at some of the other tabs. So here, the References tab has a table of contents grouping, a footnotes grouping, citations, and bibliography. So when you're working on a document, a research document or something, all of the tools for referencing are in one place. Now, pay attention to these tabs. I have Write, Insert, Page Layout, References, Mailings, Review, View, and on my copy I have an Add-ins tab. That is where my previous version of Word had add-ins, and when I upgraded to Office 12, it grabbed all my existing add-ins and group them into this add-ins tab. Now, developers will also be able to create your own tabs, your own groupings. But this is the way we handle the legacy add-ins. So I'm going to insert a table, and if you can keep your eye up on the tabs, now the last tab I have right now is an add-in tab. And I'm going to press Alt, I to move to the insert tab, T for table, and I'm going to arrow down and right and just enter a simple 3x3 table. Now, a couple things have happened. My focus and cursor are in the table. And now, to the right of the add-ins tab, there is a new grouping called Table Tools. And one is a table design tab, and one is a table layout tab. And these are tools that you can use and that we tracked in that data that people most often did when they inserted a table. So I can I'm going to navigate here to the table styles with the H and open up a gallery. I'll talk about the galleries in more depth in a little bit. And this is something in the gallery called Live Preview. So as I move through the selection of tabs, I'm seeing what my selection is going to look like on the document space. So one thing that this cuts down on is that repetitive, you know, open the dialog box, try some things, you know, click OK, close the dialog box, take a look, oh, hate that, open the dialog box again. This gives you a quick view of what you're doing and whether you're going to like it then and there. So we're hoping that that cuts down on a lot of repetitive tasks. I'm going to dive into the keyboard navigation, but wanted to give just a quick overview because with the new UI, some of the fears that we've heard from keyboard users is, oh no, my favorite shortcuts, how am I going to save my document now? Control S still saves, Control B still holds, all of those still work. And every command in the and gallery is keyboard accessible. And if you think of the ribbon as the replacement for toolbars and menus, you remember a lot of the icons and controls on the toolbars don't have access keys. And some of them don't have control type shortcuts either. So you have to press the Alt key to get up into the menu bar and then Control tab to get to the one of, I think we ended up with almost 30 toolbars, and heaven help you if you have all those running at once. And you control tab through all of those to get to the one you want, and then you tab or arrow to select what you want. And as you saw when I was just quickly going through the ribbon in Word, everything has an accelerator key. You can browse the ribbon using tab and arrow keys, and we expect that this is the way keyboard users who are blind using screen readers will probably browse and get to learn the UI, and we are passing the accelerator key information to assistive technology, so they'll be able to record those accelerator keys, and as you reuse certain commands over and over, you'll learn those just as you learned, for instance, Alt plus O plus E for the format cell dialog in Excel. Something I cannot demonstrate because this is beta 1, but you'll also be able to use your 2003 accelerator keys. For instance, your company just rolls out Office. You have to quickly produce something in Excel. You type in some numbers in a spreadsheet, and the new UI is new to you, but you know you want the format cells dialog. Alt-O-E will get you the format cells dialog. So let me go back here, and one thing I didn't finish with this table and contextual tab demo is, as I arrow out of the table, notice that these tabs go away. So we're trying to only expose what you need at a given time, or what can be used at a given time. So if you don't mind, I'm going to kneel, and wanted to I'm going to open first, I'm going to press the Alt key. And these key tips come up. And these are the new way we're doing representing accelerator keys rather than using an underline. Because while many of the commands in the ribbon do have text, many of them are icons, icon only. So there's no text to underline. So we came up with this way of doing a little overlay to represent the accelerator key. And what you're seeing in the actual accelerator keys are still in flux. As I said, it's beta 1. Roland is one of our developers who's madly working away, taking customer feedback and making tweaks to this UI. So if I want to go to the insert or the page layout tab, and actually I'm going to go to page layout. I press the L for that tab. And page setup, grouping. So I press U, and let's say I want to change the orientation of this document in table. So I will press O, and I want to make it landscape. And this is probably not a great example with the table, but it's just as easy as that. I'm going to go into Excel real quickly, and open up a sample spreadsheet with phony numbers. And I want to do some conditional formatting. So this is a type of gallery, and Doug's going to show you a different part of this gallery, I believe, when I shut up. So I'm pressing C for conditional formatting. And this is a very visual example. I apologize. Doug Jeffrey will show you a great example with window eyes. But as I move through the different choices for conditional formatting, again, I'm seeing exactly what the change is going to do. So I'm going to escape out of that, go back to Word, and I'm going to press the Alt key again just to show. In previous versions, pressing the Alt key took you to the menu bar, always to the File menu. And because we're trying to contextualize and make things smoother and the process of accessing commands quick and easy, we know that I was working on the layout page layout tab. So when I press Alt, that's the tab that has the focus. And this is one change we're going to make. It's currently showing L as the accelerator key for that tab, and we're not going to show that because it's active tab and you don't need to press it. So that cuts down on the number of accelerator keys when you're working on a given task. And how am I doing on time here? I'm going to open up a document just to show very quickly how we make it easy to create great-looking professional documents. I am not a designer, and I am not patient. And so when I'm putting together a document, I may want it to look really great, and I'll try a few things, and they never work out. So I just end up in sending something like, this is about as fancy as I might get. So just show you in a few steps how I can make a more professional-looking document. So I'm going to press the Alt key, go to Page Layout. Oops. And I'm going to go to the Page Setup area. And I'm going to change the orientation on this one. And say I want to change the margins. Well, instead of bringing up the dialog and going through the spinner buttons and knowing, I think I want the top margin to be 0.75 and the side margin to be 0.25, and then dismissing that and, oh, that's not what I wanted. I'll just go back here and go to the margins gallery. And now I have representation of numbers here, but this is the part that I like. One, a wide margin, a narrow margin, a mirrored margin. And it's as easy as that. If you want to do more and you want that control of the old stylog, it's there. So we're really trying to give customers the choice of working the way they want to work. So now I'm going to insert a header. And again, another gallery. And Doug will show you these. I'm just going to select one with stripes and a page number and title format. And there I have that. I didn't have to do any drawing or designing. And when I'm strictly using the keyboard, now I know Doug knows how to do this, but I can never get out of these headers and footers. So we've added here a closed header and footer control. So the last thing I'm going to do is insert a cover page for this. And this is something I never would have done. And here I have several choices, report type, shades that I have, can do title block, author, date block, multicolored, a triangle title page, and I'm just going to pick that for no particular reason. And then I have a better looking document and a nice cover page. So I look like I know a lot more than I do, and I love that. So sorry for all this flipping around. I did talk about the contextual, the galleries and the live preview. So I'm going to start shutting things down over here and turn it over to Doug. And while Doug's setting up, I'll talk a little bit about GW Micro is part of a new program we started in Office, the Technical Adoption Program. And 14 assistive technology vendors have signed up for this. And we really appreciate that. And this enabled us to send them alpha versions of the product, which is something we haven't done before. For August 2003, we got them beta 1, and I think Doug will agree that that was not time enough. And we also, with the ribbon, every control in the ribbon is built from the same piece of code that includes assistive technology support. So we're really trying to front load accessibility as we code in.
Yes. Thank you very much. I have about 10-15 minutes here that I can just kind of go through and show some of this. First of all, I want to reiterate what Lunel said, that it's been exciting to work with the Office group from the ground up to make it accessible. That's the way to do it, right? From the ground up is the way to do it. Trying to retro this stuff in just doesn't work. And so in the previous offices that we have, they've made improvements throughout that, but we still have to have the hacks in for the old and all this. So the whole idea of changing this UI has been very exciting to us, because that means we can throw away all that old stuff that we've been hacking and hold together with shoestrings. Now we've got, from a ground up, a fundamental approach that actually works and works very well across all of the Office products. So that in itself has been very exciting. So her team has been working extremely closely with us, and we've been able to see it almost too early of a version. We've been able to have access to an Office to work. It was too early where we really couldn't do much, but it's exciting that they're allowing us to do that so that we have input. In the past, it's always, well, we got these ideas, you really need to do this. Well, sorry, that's going to have to be the next version. We're too close to shipping. So now that's no longer the case, and so we're actively going back around. So as you said, this is a beta, so there's still a few issues. There's still some things that they need to clean up and finalize, like some of the shortcut keys that are up here and things like that. That all needs to be cleaned up, but I have full confidence that that's going to happen. I couldn't always say that in the past. I have full confidence that's going to happen, and this is going to be fully accessible when it comes out. The nice thing is everybody asks me is, you know, what to do accessibility-wise. My first thing is, it's no worse. That's good. It's not always been the case in the past either. A new version comes out, it may not be more accessible. This is, I think, certainly in the UI components, it's more accessible. The DOM components, if you're in the Word document itself or the Excel spreadsheet, that's pretty much the same. That all works equally as well with Windowize if you're, you know, creating complicated spreadsheets or word processing documents, things like that all work. So I'm not going to focus in the document area. Just trust me that that still works really well, whether you're 2000 XP, 2003, or 2007 now. So I'm going to focus up in the ribbon area and kind of talk about how you navigate this, how this is accessible, because this is all great. Although I must admit, when I first saw this visually, I thought, is this really great? Because it's so much up there, and it's like, whoa, how are you supposed to deal with this? And then my second reaction was, how on earth are blind people going to use this? And so then after I stepped back and started really using it, both visually, I like it better, and now even now that they've got some core accessibility components in there, it's actually very nice to navigate, and I think even quicker. And as Linnell was stating, the main point of this is to be able to get you the information that you previously couldn't remember where it was. So that in itself, I think, is really nice. So and in the past, what she was saying too, you had all these toolbars that she was talking about. Most of the toolbars, we just told people don't use them. They're too cumbersome. As you said, you got to control tab 50,000 times and tab to the entry you want. There are no shortcuts. It was just a nightmare. So if there was a menu option, we told people to use it. Unfortunately, there were some options that didn't have menu options. You had to use those things, and it was just agonizing. And then, of course, they threw in these tab pain or these panes on the right. For, you know, thinking whatever. that didn't really work so well. So those are getting pulled out. A lot of the legacy dialogues are starting to go away up into this ribbon. So I think they're in the right direction. This is all looking really nice. So I've got the beta, of course, of Office running. I've got the newest beta of Windowize running. It does require the newest beta of Windowize. The DNR 6.0 will be shipping before Office ships, so the support will be there when Office ships the final 2007. So what I want to do is just navigate through this and show you from the keyboard with Windowize running how this can be used by a blind person. So as Linnell was using it, I'm very proud she didn't use the mouse, I don't think. I don't think I caught you using the mouse. So that's really cool, too, because you don't always see that, too, at demos.
Right. 1 and 8. Tab control.
So I hit the Alt key, and that makes this tab controller, this tab pane up there, focusable. And right now the tooltips are visually coming up there. They're not expressing those yet, but as I said, they will. So Windowize will be able to say that E, for instance, is the shortcut for right. It told me I'm in a tab pane, and it told me that there were 8 options up there. If I just arrow through these as you would any tab pane, I can go right.
Insert. 2 of 8. Tab control. Page layout. 3 of 8.
So I can just keep arrowing through these guys, and it's going to read me that information. So I can either arrow through it if I don't remember what the shortcut is, and of course we'll tell you as you arrow through what that shortcut is. Or I can just arrow to it, and once I'm on the option, I can then tab off of that, just like a dialog that has a tab control. I can tab off of that, and that will then take me into the elements or the components of that particular element. So I'm inside insert, so if I tab off of this,
page is cover page, withdrawn down button.
Now, as Linnell mentioned, not only I'm in the insert tab, but within the insert tab, there's groupings of elements within that. I have a group called pages, table, illustrations, headers and footers, text, and symbols. And within each of those groups, there are components specific to that. So you're drilling down to the component that you want. And so when we first came in here, notice it told me that I was on the pages group. Why is it that? Pages group. And I'm on the cover page control within that group. So if I change groups, Windowize will redo that new group because visually it's there, so why not expose it as well? So if I keep tabbing,
blank page, button, page break.
I'm just
button.
Tabbing.
Table.
Table is the group and table is the control name. So that's why it said table. I changed groups.
Illustrations, picture from file.
Okay.
Insert picture from file.
I went
file.
To a new group, so it told me illustrations, picture from file, told me the control type and that type of thing. So I can tab. And again, you might think, well, we're back to the old days of the toolbars when you still got to tab 50,000 times to get to that last element that you really want. And you could, if you still like doing that. But you could also navigate left and right just with arrow keys, so you can just go straight across if you want. But even that's not so pleasing. I think the best way to do is get to the group that you want. And Microsoft gave you a shift left and right arrow, so I can do a shift right arrow.
Links. Let's draw that button.
So it took me to the links group and the links button. If I do a shift right arrow again,
header. Let's draw that button.
Header footer is the group, header is the control. So I can just shift left and right and go between the groups that I want. again, if I don't know the shortcuts. If I know the shortcuts, that's faster and better to use that as well. But at least I can quickly navigate between the groups and the components within each group that I go along through. So navigating the and again, the beauty is this is using all the Office products. So whether I'm using PowerPoint or Excel or Access, whatever, all of this toolbar, this ribbon, is going to speak the same way. So that in itself is nice as well. So let me go over to the header, on the headers. Actually, let me hit enter to open up this particular control. I'm on the headers and footers group, and I'm on the header control within that. And that was a
header, list drop-down button.
Called the list drop-down button. And I'm going to hit this. Enter on it. This pops up a new control that Microsoft came up with. We've now talked about. It's called a gallery controller. And I first saw this again, and I thought, what are they doing? But now that I look at it again, I step back, and I think this is pretty cool, because what they've done is they've kind of combined a bunch of lists and menu options and put it in one pull-down looking thing. So it's kind of a menu, it's kind of a list, all structured into one, and they call it a gallery control. So as I arrow through this, there can be groupings within this, different lists, before I get to menu options, which may or may not even be there. But as I arrow up and down, visually you can see a header for the particular list that I'm within. So as I arrow down from here, first it told me that I was on the first accent triangle option, but I'm going to down arrow one time.
Report title, 2 of 5.
So first of all, it tells me that I'm 2 of 5 of this particular list, so that in itself is kind of nice. But let me go down quickly and get to the bottom of this.
Triangle's title date, 5 of 5.
Okay, so here's 5 of 5. I'm going to go down to the next list.
Moderate. Boxes
date,
title date, 1 of 2.
I'm now in the moderate group. Visually, I see that as a header distinction, telling me I went to a different group. Told me I'm on the boxes and it's 1 of 2 or whatever it said. So it gives me the count within that, and it gives me that header, the grouping that's up there. So WindowEyes is giving me that information that visibly is up there. And in the past, even when you have lists like this, it would never read you a header that you couldn't tab to or arrow to. So now, even though you can't arrow to the header, when you change headers, WindowEyes will read that for you. So this is the same as I just keep down going through this. So I went to a new one. Now there's 1 of 4 in the subtle group and that type of thing. So it works very nicely as you go through that. If I keep going on down, eventually I'm going to get down to
menu item. Remove header. R. Save selection to header gallery.
So now I'm just in those are 3 menu options that I down arrowed through. So I went through the list and I went down to the particular menu options that were in that. So it just flows, and you get the information that you would expect as you go through that. Let's go to a little bit more difficult one. Let's go into this is a grid drop-down button. So we got all kinds of new things thrown at you here. So this is, if I open this one, hit enter. It's basically, you know, it is another gallery type of control that you're coming down through, but if you look at that visually, you think, holy cow. This is a bunch of different shapes that you can put within the document. And this is another good example of how Microsoft has used MSAA to represent in a textual format all this graphically looking stuff. So as I arrow around through these,
arrow, 2 of 18, rectangle, 3 of 18, oval, 4 of 18.
So again, I can tap through all 18 of these things, or I can just quickly go down to. So now I went down to the lines group, and it's reading these types of things to me. I go down to the basic shapes. It's a diamond. Again, I can arrow through all of these. They've now gone through, and we'll make sure that they get every one of these things to where they've given a textual description using MSAA. WindowEyes picks that up and reads it. In the past, we've seen a lot of these types of controls where Microsoft doesn't give us any MSAA information, and there's nothing there to read. We can't really do much with it, so it's not done fully. So this is really nice, the way that they clean this particular control. And again, visually, if you look at this, it's like, whoa, but it reads beautifully. So you can start embedding some of these shapes with confidence that it's going to look the way that you really want it to look. Let me just quickly, just to show, I'm going to go into Excel here real quick.
Start menu.
So this is Excel, and again, it's the same basic idea. It's the same ribbon, of course, different grouping names, different control types within the groups and things like that. But let me, within the shape control, so I'm just saying,
tab control.
I'm going to go to the conditional formatting group, or the conditional formatting, which is way over there. Yeah. So I'm just going to cheat and hit S, and eventually, again, you will know that S is the shortcut to go to the style group.
S, style conditional formatting, plus the drop-down button.
So even though I used the shortcut to get there, it told me that I was in the style group, and it told me I'm on the conditional formatting pull-down option. So So if I hit enter on this guy. So I just wanted to show you one more level of this. This again is a gallery control like all the other ones that were up there. And we're going to read you this information as you're going down through it. But now it's telling me it's a pull down. So I've got this gallery control of list items, of which can then open up a pull down menu of more list types of things. So it can go as deep as you want, but if I pull this down, here again we've got a very visual looking thing up here. I'm not even sure what this does, tell you the truth. But it reads well. But if I tab around, if I can have green data bars,
red data bars,
so you're getting what a sighted person is going to see. We're going to be able to read this to you. Again, because Microsoft has labeled this stuff really well to us so that we can expose that. So all of this stuff, I mean, there's lots of different controls and combinations and permutations of all of this, but basically it does like this. It just all reads the way you would expect it with meaningful information. You can navigate it really well. They're still working on some of the navigation things, some of the shortcut deals. All that will be cleaned down when they release, obviously, and we'll make sure that, WinUI supports that. So bottom line, it's really nice to be able to work in this environment where we can get things changed on their end instead of us trying to hack everything in there. So it's very nice now.
In the past, the problems in that this community had with Office, i.e. Microsoft Access, various parts, Outlook, various parts of Challenge, the problems that have been noted in the past, do we assume that the community are now going to get appropriate information throughout all Office products? That you're going to be able to answer that.
Having answered truthfully? I mean, it's an ongoing process. We're working with them on this. It's going to be good. The ribbon thing right now, that's the big change, and they're building that from the ground up to be accessible. That's good. Some of the core down issues that they have, and you brought up lots of them that I've been hounding Microsoft about, they are aware of those, and hopefully those will change. I don't believe a lot of those will make 12, but some of them may, and we're certainly pushing on the next release.
I can address, you mentioned Access, and the Access team has done a lot of work. I'm not expert at Access, so I'm not even going to try to show you anything. I just don't get it. But they have made when I was at ATIA, there was someone at the lab looking at Access 12 saying, wow, once people learn this, ease of entry is better. And that's just, kind of information that I heard from one person. But also the Access team, one of the first features that they worked on was an MSAA spec to make MSAA improvements. And we've made that spec available
Yeah, so we're hoping to take advantage of all of that. Anything new that they've added, we certainly want to take advantage of.
I have a question on PowerPoint. Currently, like XP and 0.3 PowerPoint, even saving as HTML doesn't call in alternative things for graphics, and the resulting HTML is less than accessible.
Okay,
is that being improved?
I'm not as familiar with the PowerPoint team, and that's a great question for them, and I want to focus on the ribbon because we have such a short period of time. If you come up after, I can give you my card, and we'll discuss that. And unless there are more questions for Doug, I'm going to finish up because we really still have a lot to show. Go ahead. All right. Sorry. Okay, because we don't have a whole lot of time, I'm not going to go back to the PowerPoint slides themselves because everything that's on those, I think I'm going to cover. One was just introducing the next thing I want to show, which is IGX, which is the text-based graphic creation tool. And I've just opened PowerPoint. Typing Control M to create a new slide. And my focus is now on the slide. And a little introduction, this IGX group, it's a new group in Office. Their primary goal was to make it easy for anyone to create a great looking, professional looking flow diagram or graphic using text entry only. We had an intern this summer in the Outlook team who's blind. Her name is Patricia, and she was so excited about this tool because when she would turn in reports at her college and papers, she needed to get a sighted fellow student to help her with these diagrams. We have, there's a test lead at Microsoft in the IE team, and he often has to do presentations that include flows and diagrams, and he's really quite an expert user, so he gets the basics of what he wants, but he still has to have a sighted coworker come in and say, oh, this connector line is a little off center, and oh, this is totally outside of the viewable space of your PowerPoint slide, that kind of thing. So the team is really hoping to clean up that problem and just make it easy. Anyone can create something like this. One of the program managers that works on this is colorblind, and I'm going to be showing you some very visual bits as I get through this with color, and he loves this because the colors are all based on a certain theme. So he says it prevents him from creating something with these horrible, that he thinks looks great and has these horrible clashing colors. So I'm pressing Alt, I for the Insert tab, and L for the Illustrations grouping, and G for ITX. I don't know what our marketing folk are going to decide to call this. I'm sure it won't be called ITX. Hopefully it'll be something that makes a lot of sense to people. Now, I've opened up this ITX graphic dialog, and on the left side, you have different types of diagrams listed: process, hierarchy, cycle, and relationship. I'm going to go back to process. In this center pane here, within the process diagrams, it has visual examples, and we also have some descriptive text that we will be passing to the assistive technology vendors. So as you're on this, I'm on the horizontal process one, and the information that will be presented is that you use this to show a progression or sequential steps in a task, process, or workflow. I'm going to select that. Now, a couple things have happened here. First, back to the tabs, the contextual tabs, there's a new tab grouping called IGX Graphic Tools, and there are two tabs, the Design and Format tab. So once I am happy with the basics of my graphic, I can do some little tweaks and get it just exactly the way I want it. The graphic has been placed in the PowerPoint slide. Three boxes with placeholder text and connecting arrows that are kind of a shaded blue. The boxes have nice curvy edges, a little bit of a shadow border, blue background. That I can change. And to the left of that is a content pane, a type here, text here pane. And this comes because there are three boxes, there are three bullet points. So as I type, I'm going to type dog, if I can spell, dog, and as I type that in the content pane, it replaced the placeholder text in the first box. I'm going to arrow down, and as I arrow down, there's also a focus around the second box in the slide. I'm going to type cat, press down, and horse. Okay, so all three boxes are filled out now, and I decide, oh, I meant to include bird. I need a fourth box, so I'm going to press enter. I have a fourth box. It's lined up. It's got a connecting arrow that's lined up. They've resized, so they're still within the viewable space of the content pane.
So I have to use type dog and cat and the third one. As you type dog, then did you press down arrow or enter?
I pressed down arrow.
Okay.
And I just, after typing horse, I'm pressing enter. And enter added another box, and now I've done that twice. I have two boxes. It's all resizing to remain within the space. Some of these, depending on the type of diagram, some of them you can do a hierarchy. So I'm going to press, first I'm going to type bird, and then I'm going to press tab, and now I have a hierarchy, and I'm going to type crow, and in the box that says bird, there's an indented bulleted item called crow. So now I talked about the program manager who's colorblind. I'll get questions later. And this is one of the features he particularly likes, is wrong keyboard. Sorry about this. Okay. So refine colors. And for some reason, as I said, this is beta, so my live preview is not working at the moment. But I'm selecting a grouping of colors, and it was just slow. Yeah. All right. Please raise your hand if you did not receive an evaluation sheet. And so now that live preview seems to, well, it's still slow. But here I can move and select a group of differing colors of box. That was not a very good example because it wasn't very different. But let's do this again. There, the live preview is kind of working. So now I have the first box is kind of a rust color, and then there's a, I don't know what that is, purple. And yeah, so anyway, that is one of the most exciting things, I think, in this release, for me anyway. I'm going to go back and yes, She's my invisible friend.
She found me, guys.
Busted.
It's not me, it's the fire chief.
Yeah.
He closed us down immediately.
Okay. I'm going to show a couple, something that's more mouse user oriented, but just kind of one of the things that we're trying to do is if any of you have used the tooltips, and sometimes I like the tooltips because that's how I first learned the control keys when I set it to show those in the tooltips. And we found when I talked about, you know, people saying, gee, I could do a much better job if I knew how to use Office more. And there are some things in there that you might not, you know, really, sometimes our labeling, I shouldn't say this, is not the most clear. So I'm going to go to the Formulas tab. And so name a range. So I'm a fairly new Excel user, and I'm like, well, why do I want to do that? And so I'm going to hover over. Oh, I have to switch that. I'm going to hover over that. And we have what are called expanded tooltips. So this says name a range, name cells, so you can refer to them in formulas. For example, it gives an example. sells A20 to A40 expenses, and the names can be used in formulas, or press F1 for more help. And we are currently talking to folks like Doug about how best to pass this information to them and how we want to handle this. This information is also available in help. And speaking of help, I'm going to press F1 here. And we're going to get an error because I have this set up to get help online. Anyway, help is now in its own window and no longer in the task pane that Doug spoke so fondly of. Okay. I'm hoping that I expressed, that with this release, we're really trying to focus on all customers, being able to produce professional-looking documents, being pros at Word without having to walk down the hall and find the local Word pro and, darn, he's out sick today. Also, I think this is great for accessibility for another reason. If it's usable, it's a step towards being more accessible, and we really hope this is more usable. I have a friend named Daniel who's blind. He doesn't work at Microsoft, but he said to me that sometimes our work and our output is more closely scrutinized than my coworkers, which that's a little strange to me, but I've heard that from other people when I've done site visits with disabled users. And I'm hoping that some of these features and use of the ribbon will help Daniel be more productive and have to ask for help less often from sighted coworkers. There was one more thing I was going to say, and because I don't have my PowerPoint presentation up, I can't remember it. Questions? Yes.
I was at the Windows Vista presentation yesterday, which was also very good. And one of the things that they were stressing there was that they wanted to make accessibility easier to find. And I know you're saying that in terms of making your overall Office product easy to use. How are you going to advertise the fact that there is more accessibility? If someone opens Word, they may not necessarily know about it.
That's an excellent question, and we're still talking about the best ways to do that, but some of the ways that we are doing that now is when Beta 2 comes out, we are planning some Office Online content on accessibility with more tutorials, and we're working on making sure the tutorials are accessible. And we are also looking at doing some white papers and presentations like this. We hope word of mouth does a certain amount. And we actually, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, we're hoping for some help from our technology friends. And again, if you have any suggestions, that's great. We have a lot of people, that have been discussing that, because that's, okay, it's great, but who knows about it?